I'd like to read in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, Amen. Who shall be able to teach others also. Amen. Thou therefore, endure hardness, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. My son, I want you to endure some hardness as a good soldier. The military appeals to young men. They put up billboards. They do a lot of advertising. And they may show a picture of a helicopter with men and rifles rappelling out of that helicopter. That looks like a lot of fun. Men parachuting out of a plane. Tanks. Out in some rugged terrain. They have a way of making it look glamorous. And a young man may decide, that's for me. Tough men. Men in action. And I am not here to glorify the military. I'm a conscientious objector. But all this picture is painted and this appeals to young men. And they go and they sign up. And then the reality sets in.
That's
right. Yes. It sets in boot camp, but then they get out in the field. And they experience some cold nights, maybe. Getting out there in the rain and mud and fighting anyway, when they'd rather be at home on the couch. Sickness. Misery. Homesickness. Can be very trying to be a good soldier. And they see their buddies blown apart. And the glamour isn't there anymore. We need to be willing to endure some hardness if we're going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Thomas Paine had this to say, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman." Yeah. The summer soldier, while the weather's good, while the sun's shining, I can be out there on the front line. But you let the snow start blowing in. Some drizzling rain, and I want to head back for the house. Summer soldier, sunshine patriot, I'll be with you as long as things are going well. But if it gets too rough, I'm turning back. Thank you. The Lord wants us to be willing to endure some hardness. There are some hard things that we will have to face in the Christian life. One of those things is the length of the journey. There are people that start out with enthusiasm and then they turn back. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. Matthew 10 and 22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." That sounds hard to me. I like for people to like me. I like for people to speak well of me. But Jesus said, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." If we're going to endure to the end, we're going to have to be willing to endure some hardness. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. For a while, believe, for a while, they're happy in the service of the Lord, full of zeal. But in time of temptation, in time of hardness, they're not willing to endure. In running, there are two types of races. There is the sprint. The runner puts on a burst of energy to get to the goal as quickly as possible. And then the other type of race is a marathon. A marathon runner cannot sprint. He'll fall short of making it all the way to the goal. A marathon runner has to pace the expenditure of energy so that he's able to endure all the way to the end. The Christian race is a marathon. It's not a sprint. There are some hard things that we will have to face as soldiers. One is rejection and persecution by the world. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now the Lord, when he was calling soldiers into his army, didn't just paint the glamorous pictures of action and tough men and exciting scenes with equipment, powerful jets and things. The Lord painted the real picture. He said, men will persecute you and they'll say all manner of evil, but he said there's a blessing. Yes. We're going to have to be willing to endure if we want to be a soldier of the Lord. The book of John chapter 16. John 16 and verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Now don't take it personally. I don't fit in real well in a worldly environment. But we should not take that personally. These things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you. I want you to have courage. There are some things you're going to have to face out on the battlefield. And I told you this ahead of time. These things have I told you that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. One of the things that is hard in the Christian life to face is the evil of the world. 2 Peter chapter 2. A soldier doesn't just go with the flow. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Speaking of God, God delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. You ever feel weary with the wickedness that's going on in this world? Does it vex your soul daily? I hope it does. I hope you're not enjoying it. I hope that there's something about that that's a real trial to you. A good soldier has to be willing to endure. Society has a way of putting pressure on people. A good soldier is willing to stand for what's right. I'd like to give you an illustration of some of the troubles of life. Some of them just come from being a human. As a human, we'll have sickness, we'll have sorrow, We'll have disappointments. We may have financial losses. All of us as humans have these types of troubles in life that we have to face. If you choose to be a saint, you're going to have another type of trouble, and that's persecution. If you choose to remain a sinner, there are some other types of troubles you'll have that a saint doesn't have. Diseases from sinful living. Sinful lifestyle diseases. Assuming you choose that particular lifestyle, you're at risk for having that type of sorrow in your life. Sinful sorrows, the guilt, going to bed at night, feeling that heaviness. These are things a saint doesn't have to feel. The reaping of the seeds that you've sown. Sinners have sorrows in life, and you get your choice. You don't have any choice about these that come with being a human. We'll all face sickness, sorrows, disappointments, but then you get to choose between these other two. Well, then at the end, we have heaven for the saints, and we have hell for the sinners. I think it's going to be worth facing some persecution, being willing to endure some hardness so that we can make heaven our goal.
Amen.
One of the things that can be hardness for a soldier to face is seeing others fall. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 91. Psalms 91 and verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. You ever feel discouraged when you see other people turning back? I think Elijah felt that way. Lord, they've killed all your prophets and it's just me, all by myself. If we're going to be good soldiers, we're going to have to be able to stand alone. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 14, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. The Lord is not going to forsake his soldiers. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Are we willing to suffer some things for the Lord? Let me tell you something. It's hard for me to suffer somebody slandering me. I know what it's like. But I had the opportunity to be in a medieval castle in Europe, and they had torture instruments in there. They had things that they actually applied. One of them was something I believe they would put on a person's tongue with spikes on the top and bottom, and they could screw it tighter and tighter. They used to pull people apart because they believed in the Lord. Endure hardness. Lord, you know what they said about me. Isn't that hard? What if they start clamping down on your tongue and you're screaming in pain? Are we willing to endure hardness? Lord, help me. I ought to be able to take a few little things that I have to face here in this country. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. Many are not going to be willing to endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. And shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Yes. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. It can be hard to endure if we feel like there is no cause that we're fighting for. That was the case in the Vietnam War. Men were over there in awful situations. It seemed like the enemy was everywhere. The enemy was in the jungle. They didn't feel safe. And they were over there in the misery of war. And back home, people were protesting them being over there. You suppose word got back to the soldier that was over there feeling like, I'm here serving my country. I'm here trying to contain communism from taking over the world. And back home, they're making ugly protests about me. You think that was disheartening to the soldiers on the front line? Do you think that sometimes people might criticize you? Well, that brother over there, he just really messed up. This, that, and the other. You think that can dishearten you?
Yes.
We need to be willing to endure some hardness as a good soldier. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. It doesn't say blessed is the man that enjoys temptation. It doesn't say blessed is the man that falls to temptation after he's been tempted a dozen times. But blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy. Why? Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Yes.
Because the things that you are facing as a soldier, the hardness, the opposition, the things that are discouraging, those things are working something in your life.
Yes.
They're toughening you up as a soldier.
Amen.
Those little things that you're facing are preparing you for the big battles that you have to face someday.
Amen.
So count it all joy when you're able to face those things and you're counted worthy to suffer for the Lord's name. Count it joy. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you that you're giving me victory in these battles, because there's coming a battle someday that I'm going to need this hardening that you've given me. A good soldier is obedient without questioning. If the commander said it, I'm doing it.
Yes. Amen.
It doesn't matter what my opinion is. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. He's the commander. That's the command. I understand it, and I'm doing it.
Yes.
Certain death, I'm doing it. That's a good soldier.
Yes.
A good soldier, as we heard in this meeting, respects authority. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it.
Yes.
This centurion understood something about authority.
Yes, he did.
How do you suppose he got to be centurion? Was it because he was so good with the sword? Was it because he had such wit, he could think of a lot of smart aleck things to say to other people? Or was it because he respected authority? And they felt, this is a man that if we give him a command, even if he disagrees, he's going to do it. There is something about the respect for authority that causes people to eventually get authority. He was a man under authority. Lord, I know something about authority, and I recognize you have it. And just like I can command others, you can make the command, Lord. I know your authority. You're not like the scribes and Pharisees that don't speak with authority. You have it.
Amen.
And I honor you.
Praise the Lord.
A good soldier is faithful. You can count on a good soldier. Proverbs 25 and 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. You want something done, just ask that man over there. And expect it to be done. You can count on him. You don't have to wonder whether or not he did it and wonder what excuses he's going to come up with. A faithful man is refreshing. He refresheth the soul of his masters. A good soldier is courageous. Courageous is able to face and deal with danger or fear without flinching. I want you to notice that the definition of courageous does not say not having fear. But it says able to face and deal with danger or fear without flinching.
Yes,
Lord, I am afraid. I can see the enemy. I know there is danger out there. But Lord, I'm not flinching.
Amen.
You told me to be here. I am going to hold the position.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not giving up. I'm not going back, Lord. I'm here trembling, but I believe
Amen.
That you're going to help me.
Amen.
A good soldier is courageous. David was one of the best soldiers I know of. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Everyone turned against him. Let's stone the man. And here he had been a wonderful leader. He had won victories, and they turned on him. Do you believe that can happen to you in life?
Yes.
You feel like everyone is against you? A good soldier can encourage himself in the Lord, his God.
Yes.
A good soldier is trained. They don't just get the uniforms, the helmets, the guns, the food, and say, here, new recruits, take it, get out there and fight. They don't do that. They put those men through some training. They put them through some physical training to have strength.
Yes.
Strength is important to a good soldier. But there's more than that. There's stamina.
Yes.
You have to be able to sustain strength throughout whatever it takes.
That's right.
So they will train soldiers to have both strength and stamina. If I were to choose a soldier to fight the battle, I would not choose an effeminate man. I would not choose someone who is wavering, but I would choose someone that was strong and had stamina about them. A good soldier is trained how to fight, the right tactics to use, how to use the weapons, what types of things can be encountered on the battlefield. And the Lord wants to train us to be good soldiers as well.
Amen.
A good soldier is equipped for the battle. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, that ye may be able to endure hardness as a good soldier, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, like a good soldier. Don't turn your back on the battle like a coward, but stand. You have a conviction, stand. The world is saying your conviction is wrong. You are full of hate. You are bigoted. You are narrow-minded. Stand.
Amen.
And meekly hold the true position. Amen. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There is a saying that I can't really agree with, that God does not send the qualified, He qualifies the called. He doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called, or something like that. I believe God prepares people. He qualifies them for the positions that He sends them to. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. A good soldier is equipped for the battle. This sounds like someone that is thoroughly equipped. Every need is taken care of, and I believe God has all the equipment for His soldiers that we need. A good soldier must endure hardness, but how do we do that? Let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. A good soldier weeps? Yes. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God,
yes,
in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up.
Amen.
A good Christian soldier can weep. A good Christian soldier has a tender heart that humbles himself in the sight of God.
Amen.
That is a good soldier that can endure hardness. We don't endure hardness by retaliation and revenge,
amen,
and carnal warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, and we can achieve those weapons and use those weapons by humbling our own hearts. God, you see what's happening in my life. You know the difficulties I am facing, and I cannot handle it in my own strength.
Amen.
I need divine help.
Yes.
That's humbling yourself. Need to be willing to let some tears flow if that's what it takes. Men like to feel like they're so tough. And I tell you, once you become a man, sometimes it's kind of hard to cry. Sometimes maybe you cry on the inside. But a true, strong man of God has a tender heart.
Amen.
And he's able to cry out to God and get the help he needs to endure hardness as a good soldier.
Amen.
Chapter 5. And verse 6, a good soldier can patiently endure injustice. James 5 and 6, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. A good soldier is patient. How do you think they would siege a city and starve the people into surrender? A good soldier has to be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Verse 10, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example. I believe there are some good soldiers that have gone before us, don't you?
Amen.
I've known some in my lifetime. I still know some today. I know some good soldiers. And take them, for example, the suffering of affliction and of patience. That's part of the reason I believe in God today, because I have seen some good soldiers that I respected. I looked up to them. That is a man of God. That's a man that's strong, that can endure some hardness. I learned to respect some people like that. Take them for an example. We don't have to come out and learn everything afresh for ourselves. There are some older soldiers that we can learn from and get counsel and learn to respect.
Amen.
Take these older soldiers for an example. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and full of tender mercy. A good soldier can endure some injustice. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There is something valuable about the hardness that comes our way. It is a trial of our faith. And our faith is more precious than gold. And as we endure hardness, it helps purge us of things that need to be purged from our lives.
Amen.
Verse 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Would you notice that the hardness is just for a season?
Amen.
Soon the hardness will be over.
Amen.
Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober,
yes,
and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This, gird up the loins of your mind. The phrase translated gird up the loins refers to an action ancients would take to prepare themselves for some activity. So many of the modern translations express the phrase in this way. Prepare your minds for action. Because long flowing garments were the norm for both male and female, preparing to walk or run might require gathering up or girding of the garments at the waist or loins. So if we are to gird up the loins of our mind, we are to prepare our minds for action.
Amen.
Train your minds to be good soldiers.
Amen.
To endure some hardness.
Yes.
Did you know that part of the training of soldiers is not just physical? For endurance and strength, there is mind preparation.
That's right. Amen.
They know that once a soldier gets out and sees combat, that there are things that can cause them to just lose it emotionally.
Yes.
So they start desensitizing them to blood and gore. They start desensitizing soldiers to compassion for people dying. So that once they get on the battlefield, they're like fighting machines that are insensitive to all the hard things that are going on around them. Mind preparation. And the scripture is instructing us to prepare your minds for action. There are souls that you are going to see fall by the wayside. Although we are to have great compassion and love for souls, we must not let that deter us from our determination to be good soldiers. The enemy tries to tear down the training of the mind. Psychological warfare is the use of propaganda against an enemy. Such propaganda is generally intended to demoralize the enemy, to break his will to fight or resist, and sometimes to persuade him to favor one's position. Most modern armies have specialized units trained and equipped for psychological warfare. Such units were a major part of the German and Allied forces during World War II. The World War II leaflet output, these are propaganda leaflets, the World War II leaflet output of Western Allies alone was estimated to be at least 8 billion sheets. They would fly over the enemy soldiers and start dropping thousands and thousands of sheets of material that was intended to break their will to fight, to change their mind about why they were there. Propaganda. Prepare your minds for the psychological warfare that's out there. For the things that are going to come and try to break your will to be a soldier. To endure hardness. Prepare your minds for that.
Amen.
Loudspeakers were often used in the front lines. Well, here we are again today. And what do y'all think you're doing out there in the rain and the mud? Your children back home, they're hungry. They're missing their daddy. And what are you doing here? Can you imagine what it would have been like? Good hard soldier over there, a tear starts trickling down his cheek. I wonder how they are doing back home. What are you doing fighting? You all are going to lose the battle anyway. What are you doing fighting? You know they did that in the Old Testament too. And they spoke in the language the Jews understood. They weren't speaking in the Babylonian language. It was something that hit home. And you know, the devil knows how to speak your language. He knows how to appeal to your heart. He knows how to work on your mind and take away the training your parents gave you. He knows how to try to steal the word out of your heart. We're going to have to prepare our minds and guard our hearts and hide His word in our hearts that we won't sin against Him. The use of atrocity to demoralize enemy populations is an age-old tactic that has never disappeared. Massacres on the civilian population have been used to cause people to give up their lands. I was just reading about that in maybe Colombia. I think it's Colombia. There's a piece of land that people had lived. And the drug war is so bad and the violence is so bad that finally people gave up their farms, gave up the place of their livelihood and left the area. Once you've seen your brother killed and they got your child and this, that, and that, there's only so much you can handle anymore and you're saying, I'm leaving here. Yeah, my grandfather gave us this land, but I'm out of here. I've had enough. The American Indians. There was one, and I can't remember his exact wording, but he said, until the sun goes down, I can fight no more. Something like that, as the sun goes down. Those men were fighters. They were fierce, but his will had been broken. He had seen too much. And you know the enemy will work on you and wear on you and try everything he can to break your mind's preparation to be a good soldier, to endure hardness. Terrorism is also a psychological warfare tactic, causing people to make concessions out of fear. Do we see any of that today? It's hit on right here in the home front, hasn't it? Today, do we have any propaganda coming? It's trying to convince us that we should give up Christianity? Is there any propaganda out there? Are there any leaflets falling, and is there abundance of it? Gird up the loins of your minds.
Amen.
Don't pick up the leaflets.
That's right.
Don't begin reading.
Amen.
When they crank up the loudspeaker over there on the front line and start hammering at you again, plug your ears.
Yes.
The enemy doesn't want you to endure hardness. Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim started his journey to leave the city of destruction. Now he had not run far from his own door, but his wife and children, perceiving it, began to cry after him to return. Who can appeal to your heart more than your wife and your children? The ones very closest to you. Come back. You're leaving us. We love you, Dad. Where are you going? The enemy knows how to work on our minds, doesn't he? His wife and children, perceiving that he was leaving, began to cry after him to return. But the man put his fingers in his ears and ran on, crying, "Life, life, eternal life." So he looked not behind him, but fled toward the middle of the plain. That's what we're going to have to do if we want to endure hardness as a good soldier. There will be cries and appeals that come to our ears, and we're going to have to put fingers in our ears and say, "Life, life, eternal life. I'm going on." Doesn't matter how tough the battle is. Enduring hardness means putting up with some hard words. In Jude, it speaks of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Words can be hard. Ridicule can be hard. Lies told about us can be hard. We're going to have to endure some hardness as good soldiers. Enduring hardness means giving up some of the comforts of life sometimes. Enduring hardness means that we're going to have to let our own way go sometimes. That isn't what I wanted to do. We're going to have to give it up. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Yes. Let him take up his cross. Let him take up the thing that makes his flesh suffer daily. The flesh wants to do this. No, flesh, you're not doing that. The flesh craves to do that. No, flesh, you're going to have to die today just like you died yesterday. Daily. Let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself. Let him deny some of his ambitions and dreams in life. The things he could have been, let him give those things up and follow me. We need to be willing to endure hardness as a good soldier. Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Do you believe that as soldiers there is anything that can come our way, any kind of hardness that we cannot endure? It says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors." That ought to give us some courage. Oh, but you don't know what I'm going through. The Lord knows, doesn't He? And He will enable us to endure hardness. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." Sounds like He's covered it all. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Here's what it takes on my part. I have to be willing to endure hardness. I have to be resolved. "Lord, I am going to hold through this thing." And when He sees that, He's going to send in the reinforcements. It's not like these soldiers that get separated from their platoons and they get overpowered by enemy fire. The Lord isn't going to do that to us. Amen. He's going to give us all the reinforcement we need to be more than conquerors. we have to be willing to endure some hardness. God will only use the soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you'll wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep on the firing line. That's not popular in today's religion. I want to live how I want to live and go to church and them make me feel good. Them to tell me I'm going to heaven. You're all right, we're all sinners anyway. That's what people want to hear today.
Yes.
Feel good religion. But it says if you'll wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep on the firing line.
Amen.
Life is but to labor for the master dear, to help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service here, so keep on the firing line.
Amen.
Revelation 2 and 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life.
Amen.
Dear ones, it's going to be worth being faithful. It's going to be worth being willing to endure some hardness. And when we get to that day where the Lord's handing us that crown of life, nothing we've been through is going to amount to anything. Doesn't matter how hard it is. Sometimes you may feel like you're at the end of your rope. But it's going to be worth it.
Amen.
Hold on.
Yes.
There are things that may be more painful than we realized we would ever face in life.
So.
I'm glad that I can't look in the future and see all the pain that I have yet to come.
Yes.
I've been through things that I didn't realize life could be that painful. But I'm glad that if we endure through these hard things, there's a crown of life.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.